Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
The new Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi, has only been in U.S. theaters for about 1 week, but is already said to be grossing more than $650 million worldwide, needing $800 million to break even. As you might expect, some fans and critics are raving about the movie while others are less thrilled. We saw that this morning in our own adult Bible class. A friend sent me a satirical news article about a Baptist preacher's being defrocked for not making any references to that movie in his sermon last Sunday. So naturally, I felt compelled to make at least one reference to that movie in this sermon today, lest something worse happen to me. Actually, one critic wrote that The Last Jedi centers on questions of legacy, legitimacy, and succession. And questions of legacy, legitimacy, and succession arguably are also at the center of the appointed readings for the fourth Sunday in Advent, especially as we consider the pairing of the Old Testament reading with the Gospel reading. As we heard in the Old Testament reading from 2 Samuel, when King David lived in his house or palace, the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies. And King David piously wanted to build a house or temple for the Lord. But through Nathan, the prophet, the Lord told David that he, the Lord, would make David a house or dynasty, and that David's kingdom would be sure forever, and that the Lord would establish his throne forever. Then, as we heard in the gospel reading, with many details unique to St. Luke's divinely inspired account, the angel Gabriel, with apparent reference to those 2 Samuel events, made clear to the Virgin Mary, who apparently was of the house of David, that Jesus would have the throne of his father David, that Jesus would reign over the house of Jacob, that is the kingdom of Israel, forever, and that of Jesus' kingdom there would be no end. Moreover, Gabriel made clear that Jesus would not only be a human son of the line of David, but Jesus would also be the divine Son of the Most High God, who would save his people from their sins. Thus, we will realize that the human and divine Son saves us. We will realize that the human and divine Son saves us. But for her part, at least initially, the Virgin Mary was thoroughly troubled. She was trying to discern what sort of greeting the angel Gabriel had given her, and she was afraid. Gabriel made clear that God had chosen Mary on account of the Lord's favor and grace, not on account of anything in Mary. And we know from elsewhere that Mary knew that she needed a Savior, as also you and I should know that we need a Savior. We are sinful by nature, and so we fail to keep God's commandments, failing to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength, and with all our mind, and failing to love our neighbors as ourselves. And on our own, we cannot do anything to make up for our failures to keep God's commandments. In order for Jesus to keep God's commandments for us, and to make up for our failure to keep God's commandments, he had to be a human son. Jesus also had to be a divine son. In order for his keeping God's commandments and his offering himself as our substitute on the cross to be sufficient for all people, so that he might overcome death and the devil for us. Gabriel's announcement of Jesus' birth to Mary made clear that Jesus would be such a human and divine son, the two natures united in one person. And by Gabriel's telling Mary to name that son Jesus, the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means the Lord saves, Gabriel made clear that Jesus would be the human and divine son who would save us. God earnestly calls us to repent and believe in him so that he can forgive our sinful nature, our sins against him, our sins against our neighbors, all our sins, whatever they may be, for Jesus' sake. Even before God sent the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary in order to announce her birth of Jesus, God had made other divine birth announcements, such as his announcing Hagar's birth of Ishmael, Manoah's barren wife's birth of Samson, and Elizabeth's birth of John the Baptizer. But all those women conceived their children through normal means, while Mary conceived her child through miraculous means. The Holy Spirit came upon her, and the power of the Most High overshadowed her. So the child was called, and was, holy, the Son of God. More than a prophet of the Most High, like John the Baptizer, Jesus was the Son of the Most High. Jesus was the long prophesied offspring of the woman who on the cross would bruise or crush the serpent's head while the serpent bruised his heel. Submitting to his father's divine will, like his human mother before him, Jesus in deep humility died on the cross for your sins and for mine, out of love for you and for me, in order to save us. This is what St. Paul in the epistle reading called his gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but has now been disclosed through arguably the New Testament's prophetic writings and made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God in order to bring about the obedience of faith. By such faith, we who are baptized and absolved partake of the sacrament of the altar, where bread is Christ's body and wine is Christ's blood given and shed for us in order for us to have the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Just as the human and the divine natures are personally united in Jesus, so here bread and wine are sacramentally united with his body and blood. The Holy Spirit, who conceived Jesus, gives birth to us from above in holy baptism, frees us from our sins through our pastor's absolution, and strengthens and preserves us in body and soul to life everlasting with Christ's body and blood, by which even we partake in his divine nature. When Jesus' work of saving us was completed, his divine father gave him, according to his human nature, the throne of his human father David and a never-ending kingdom. The branch of Jesse's tree is also the key of David. On Palm Sunday, the crowd saw in Jesus the coming kingdom of their father David. But as Jesus told Pilate, his kingdom was not of this world, at least not then, though it will be on the last day. Great David's greater son, his kingdom is still increasing and is ultimately a kingdom without end. Even now, Jesus rules over all. His is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So we don't have to worry unnecessarily about countries such as North Korea, Russia, or Iran. Like the Virgin Mary and her son, we submit ourselves to our Heavenly Father's will. We surrender ourselves to his command. And we can rejoice, as the angel Gabriel essentially told the Virgin Mary to rejoice, with the joy of the worshiping community that receives and gives thanks to God for for his kingly rule, his grace, and especially his forgiveness. The King of Angels, the Church's King, the King of Nations, the King of Glory, ultimately makes us kings to reign with him. We've realized that the human and divine Son saves us. Fulfilling Old Testament promises and prophecies, God builds David's house through the God-man Jesus Christ, David's legitimate successor and legacy. Whatever answers to such questions the Last Jedi might give in regards to the Skywalker family, with the franchise's fixation on children watching their parents die, the gospel's answers are different in regard to David's lineage. For Jesus' divine father and his human mother watch him die for us. With St. Paul in the epistle reading, we are left to shout out, "To him who is able to strengthen us, to the only wise God, be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ."
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.